You're listening to Talking Heads, and on today's programme we're continuing our coverage, brought to you by PDMS, of the build-up to September's general election. And we're joined now in the studio by Linda Bowers-Cash, who's standing in the constituency of Ramsey on a Liberal Vanin Party ticket. Good afternoon, Linda, and welcome to Talking Heads.
Good afternoon, Stu, and thank you for asking me back. Thank you very much indeed for the opportunity.
You're more than welcome. Now, tell us a little bit about yourself. What's your background?
Well, to expand on what I said on Friday, I was in the finance sector for many years, working my way up from grassroots level to vice president of Barclays Wealth. I've worked in both the UK and also the Channel Islands and the Isle of Man. I've been on the Isle of Man since 1988.
Right.
And I've done a variety of roles.
So you could be called a stopover then?
I'd like to think so, yeah.
Manx by adoption. And what's made you decide to stand for politics?
I've always been interested in politics since I was a teenager. The household that I came from, you know, we had very active debates, put it that way. I would have liked to have stood last elections, but to be totally frank with you, I didn't feel it was the right time in my life to do so. And if I can't do something wholeheartedly, then it's best not to attempt to do it.
Yeah.
Now I feel I've reached a stage in my life where I want to give back some of the experience and the skills that I've acquired, you know, frankly, from being based on the Isle of Man and the opportunities that's given me.
You think the Isle of Man's been good for you as a person?
I value very much my time on the Isle of Man. When I came here, I moved from the southeast of England, and I came with my ex-husband, and I just feel like it is such a great place to live.
But you rose through the ranks to become a top banker. We'll not hold that against you. What do you think you can offer to the Isle of Man as a politician?
I believe over the next 5 years, a very different skill set is going to be required to manage through some of the changes that I believe are going to be important. And I've got a tremendous experience in managing change and adopting smarter working practices, which drive our value for money and operational efficiencies. Also, the economic environment that we've been through over the last 2 or 3 years as a business leader, clearly I have been challenged personally to make cost efficiencies and work more smartly. I think these skills will be absolutely fundamental to the success of the Isle of Man going forward over the next 5 years.
Change management is an industry almost to itself nowadays, isn't it? You know, every business that I've known over the last few years has been involved in change and welcoming and embracing change. Is it going to be good for the Isle of Man, or is it something that we need to be scared of?
A lot of people who are not used to change, I can understand that they may have some reluctance to change. But if we look at it in another way, the environment's changed, the island's changed, and we can't live in the past and do things just because we've always done them that way. We have to take the opportunities to work more smartly. I mean, my view is that if we can drive operational efficiencies, and these are shared by the party, if we can drive operational efficiencies, the better we can do that and the more costs we can save through that mechanism, then that helps to protect the frontline services. And at the end of the day, that's what it's all about, really, is the services that we're providing for the public of the Isle of Man, and making sure that any expenditure that we do spend is actually giving good value for money and that it delivers what it's supposed to deliver.
In some ways, you're on hiding to nothing. People will be listening to this and thinking, hang on a minute, I'm Manx and I don't like change. I know it's one of the stereotypes, but the Manx don't like change.
Well, okay, what's the option? That we stay static, and or we worse still, my belief is that we would go backwards. And if we fail to take and grasp the opportunities for change, then I believe there'll be external factors that come along and force us down roads that we actually are not particularly attractive. So the choice is in our hands. We either do it and drive it ourselves, or something will come along which will force us down a road, clearly, that may not be as attractive. And I'm sure, you know, that wouldn't be too long before that happens.
I went to a conference once and somebody said that that if we do today what we did yesterday, we can't expect tomorrow to be any different. And that's what it's about, isn't
it? Yeah. More of the same will bring more of the same, and that won't be good enough. And I can absolutely understand, particularly people who've not experienced or gone through change, that they may have fears and they may be reluctant to embrace it. But as I say, we either drive it ourselves or something will happen.
Well, you say that we need to change and we need to drive change. A lot of people will be nervous about that because we don't like change, and a lot of people will be very fearful of it and will want tomorrow to be just like yesterday was, because yesterday was actually pretty good. The difference now is that we're 40% down on our government's income, aren't we?
Mm-hmm. I just ask, what's preferable? That we search opportunities to make operational efficiencies. And everybody always leaps to the conclusion that that's going to be headcount cutting, it's going to be cuts in services. I'd rather drive through operational efficiencies and then have chance to mitigate frontline services so that you can continue to operate, you know, the health service along the way that you would like and improve on that. You know, to me, And I'm sure many people that's listening to this today, I hope they would rather have the services and operational efficiency.
But is that going to be possible? Because, you know, all the candidates are saying that we need a strong health service, we need to maintain frontline services. But with such a vast reduction in government income, can we afford to do that still?
It's not so much about affording it, it's driving a culture. It's driving a culture where people identify opportunities to work more smartly. And it's got to be driven from the top. It's a top-down cultural change. And I think that everybody, you know, owes it to the Isle of Man and to the public of the Isle of Man to embrace that so that we can protect what we value the most, which is our frontline services, our education, our health, you know, our bus services. It can't happen unless people really buy into it, but they need to do some thinking, I would suggest, as to what the future might look like if we don't do it.
You say this needs to be driven from the top. I've talked to some candidates who say it should actually be inverted, and we ought to look at this from the bottom, because if it is driven from the top, doesn't that mean to say that we're going to maintain the bloated fat cats who a lot of people suggest are within the public services of the Isle of Man?
No, we should be looking at working more smartly right across the piece. But you've got if you've got people at the top who aren't bought into this culture, how would you expect it to filter down to you know, other line managers and so on and so forth?
Give me an example of how we can work smarter.
Well, committee, for example, a committee. You know, are some of the committees actually providing value for money, or are they just talking shops?
Yes.
You know, time is money. And procrastination and waste of time is not a luxury we can afford. You know, they're looking at how we deal with processes. You know, are there opportunities there to work more smartly so that we can do more with less?
The Lib Van Party is very much about bringing democracy back to the people.
Mm-hmm.
But would you not concede that maybe we try and do that a bit too much, almost, in that everything these days politicians can't make decisions without something having gone out to public consultation first? I'm concerned a lot of these consultations are just window dressing, really.
Right. OK, let me deal with that in two parts. The political system that we've got now, you can argue that the challenge process isn't as robust as it could be.
Yes, because we don't have party politics.
So if that challenge process is weak, then doesn't that dilute democracy? Challenge should be viewed positively. Otherwise, as its worst case scenario, you get the situations that we're seeing now in Libya, we saw earlier this year in India, and that's its most extreme. And we should look at how robust our challenge programme is, because challenge is right. It's got to be constructive challenge, but it's right that we have an effective challenge process, and that the public in the Isle of Man are better able to assess who's going to be driving policies that they feel they can buy into by the policies being known before the election than formulated afterwards. You look at what we do now, the candidates produce between, say, 40 and 60 manifestos. I mean, my golly, that's a heck of a lot of reason matter. So all I'm saying is that we shouldn't discount a different way of doing things.
Absolutely. You say that challenge needs to be constructive, though, and I worry that challenge for the sake of it often isn't. And for the next 5 years, surely we're going to need to have a strong government that's going to lead us through the choppy waters ahead.
Well, that's where you need some fresh blood in, who've got different skill sets as well and who can look at things in a different way. The challenge process has to be constructive, yes, but it has to be robust as well. And it, you only have to look at some of the findings of, you know, the, some of the external agencies that say that good governance and transparency is absolutely vital for trust. And this is, you know, off sites like the Transparency International Index. So we can't ignore the observations and the findings of external parties.
Okay, you say that that we've got 40 different manifestos floating around. It's an awful lot of reading. Mm-hmm. That might be one reason to stand as a Liberal Vanin Party member. What are the others? Because, you know, you're a smart, switched-on woman. Did you not think that you'd got enough ideas of your own to stand for Keys rather than latch onto a party?
Well, it's not a question of latching onto a party. It's I identified with their aims and aspirations to drive change. And where you see you've got a correlation between your ideas and the party, then I don't see why I wouldn't affiliate myself with them. I'm not in this for myself. I'm in this election to be provided, hopefully, with the opportunity to use my skills for the benefit of the people of Ramsey and the Isle of Man.
What would you prefer to be doing come September if you're elected? Dealing with national issues or dealing with local issues in Ramsey?
It's not a question of preference. I think you have to be able to deal and deliver on a local level and on a national level and on a global level. It's not a choice. You have to be able to deal with all three effectively.
A lot of people think that Ramsey is a little bit run down, a little bit shabby. What would you start with as far as Ramsey's concerned?
I'd like to see an overall plan for Ramsey, a vision of what Ramsey should be for the future.
Coming from who? From central government or from Ramsey itself?
No, I think this would be good to get the input from relevant parties, including, of course, you know, people of Ramsey. What would they like to see so that we can come up with a vision for Ramsey? The thing is that if you try to improve just small pockets, how does that align with the overall plan, if indeed there is one? You know, I've spoken already about the marina and about the pier. I'd like to see some real traction around the hotel that's being built. I'd like to see, you know, how that's going to be marketed, because, you know, that is that is required so that we can understand how we're going to regenerate Ramsey. What is our overall vision? What do we want it to be in 5-10 years?
But isn't there a bit of a dichotomy there in that the people of Ramsey will want things for Ramsey? And are they able and willing, do you think, to look at the bigger picture about what's best for the Isle of Man generally?
Well, it goes back to saying you've got to look at what the local people would like in Ramsey and compare that with what we have to achieve as an island. And it would be no different to any other area of the Isle of Man. What can we do and what can't we do? And what might we have to compromise on to achieve?
Election 2011 coverage on Manx Radio, brought to you by PDMS.
This is Talking Heads, and we're talking to Linda Bowers-Cash, who's standing as a Liberal Vanin Party member for the constituency of Ramsey in the election on the 29th of September. You say that we need to increase our credibility. Aren't we doing that already pretty well?
You can always improve. Once you feel that you're doing things pretty well and you don't need to make any more improvements, that's when you start to go backwards. Increasing our credibility is you know, around being an ambassador from the Isle of Man and not missing out the opportunities to sell the Isle of Man. in many, many different ways. I'd like to see how we can encourage new business into the island. There are some thoughts that we have a concept stage about some business parks that we might have on the island. There are many businesses where jurisdiction is not an issue for them, so they can be located anywhere. For example, people who have internet services, call centres. We should be going out and proactively seeking business opportunities.
Why would anybody
that will
set
increase
up
our credibility?
Why would anybody set up a call centre in the Isle of Man when they can do it for a tenth of the price in Mumbai?
Yeah, but if you think about the public in general, particularly in the UK, how many adverts do you see where they say UK call centres?
But it wouldn't be a UK call centre here, would it?
But it's a British Isles. You know? And rather than put in a block and saying, well, why would they? Let's go out and see if that is feasible. And also thinking about small businesses, some of the thoughts that we have at concept stage is potential for a VAT holiday for small businesses at startup stage for a qualifying business. Because if you think about it, the first 2 or 3 years of a business is actually quite challenging.
Well, most businesses go bust within that period,
don't they? And so if we can find a way for those who are not going to register for VAT because perhaps their turnover isn't sufficient and they don't want to do it voluntarily because they would then have to charge their customers VAT, therefore making their service less attractive, you know, can we explore opportunities to give a VAT refund to those businesses, which is a very smart way of giving some form of subsidy to them without huge administrative burden? And it's trying to be creative about how we help the overall economy for the Isle of Man by thinking slightly differently about the way we do things.
But can we afford to do that? Can we afford to give away money to new start businesses?
Well, OK, if that makes the difference between a business starting or not starting, you wouldn't have had that VAT anyway if they didn't start up.
We've also got a Department of Economic Development which is tasked with doing that very job to try and bring investment to the Isle of Man and new business. Do you not think it's doing a very good job?
It's not a question of whether they're doing a good job or not. It's about getting fresh ideas as well.
But they're full of them, probably, I'm guessing.
Yeah, well, but it doesn't mean to say that other areas can't contribute to those ideas. Let's think about what is possible.
But would you not rather just feed those ideas into the DED rather than make them LVP things particularly? It strikes me that you're trying to sort of cherry-pick the best ideas.
No. LVP is about giving ideas, but it's working with people as well. But it would be foolish to say that only certain people should have ideas. We should be encouraging a culture, an entrepreneurial culture, and we should be encouraging a culture where people feel able to come up with ideas.
But isn't that the beauty of the Isle of Man? Because, I mean, I've had ideas in the past and I've sent them into the DED. Mm-hmm. Whether they do anything with them is entirely up to them. Mm-hmm. But, you know, isn't that the beauty of the Isle of Man? Because we are so small, because our ministers do have the names, the phone numbers and their addresses in the phone book. So anybody can get to government only one step away, unlike most jurisdictions that I can think of.
But why would you see that changing?
It wouldn't change. I'm saying that facility for people to feed ideas into the system is already there, surely. So I'm not seeing how you can improve on that.
What I'm saying is that we should encourage it more.
OK, what about our international relations? What do you feel about that? How do you feel things are working with people like the UK and Europe?
We did take additional steps to raise our credibility wherever we can and our influence. That's for sure, and that can be achieved in various ways. And being on the front foot, actually, you look at some of the agreements that we have from the Isle of Man. I'd like to see the agreements subject to review so that We identify the what if scenarios, what if something happens in relationship disagreement, so that we are better able to formulate a response quickly.
We've got a strategy.
I'm not convinced that that is addressed as robustly as it could be. And I'm not here to, you know, point fingers. What I'm saying is these are observations where I think we can increase our influence better by being more prepared, by doing the risk assessments attached to those agreements, so that we aren't taken by surprise. Because I've heard people say, oh, that came as a surprise, well, this came as a surprise. Let's not be surprised. Let's be prepared.
You're a businesswoman. Give me a quick SWOT analysis for the Isle of Man. What are our strengths, weaknesses, opportunities and threats?
Our strengths is our people. I think we have a great community. We have a fantastic finance sector and opportunities to grow in that regard. Beautiful island, huge selling point.
Selling to who, though?
Well, selling globally. Let's not put boundaries on it.
Selling, what are we selling? I mean, to say we've got a beautiful island, yes, fine. It's a bit of a platitude, though, isn't it? I mean, you know, is that going to bring any more money into the island?
If we package ourselves well and we promote ourselves well, yes. Why would it not?
Because of the cost of getting here.
Well,
why would somebody come to the Isle of Man when they can go to Wales or they can go to the Lake District or anywhere else with similar scenery for far less money?
You are putting a block in front of why people shouldn't be coming to the Isle of Man.
No, not for a second. I'm just suggesting that it's easy to say we ought to encourage more tourism. The reality is that we've got this vast expense of anybody getting here. If we look at the UK as a prime market for us, we've got a vast cost of getting here. And it just seems to stop, you know, any negotiation beyond that point. The tourism industry, and I'll be talking to Theo Fleurby later on about this. But it just strikes me that, you know, we can never really grow our tourism industry much when there's this vast cost of getting here.
Well, you can't say that for the Channel Islands. They have a tourist and they've got a stretch of water in between them. So, you know, it's really looking at how we make that whole package more attractive for people. And also, not just about the scenery, but looking at some of the events that we have that are very bespoke to the island. The Parish Walk is taking, you know, a huge international profile.
Yes.
You know, build on that. Fantastic opportunity to build on that. And let's be positive about what we have to offer. If we're not positive, how can we expect anybody else to be?
I'm massively positive. I think we need to have a gravity sports centre at Snae Fell, personally. I think that would be a fantastic idea, but nobody's taking that one seriously either. Okay, tell me a bit more then about why you think you'd be good for Ramsay if you're elected in September.
Because I believe that I've got an approach that is different and that will really put some different views and ideas over, which I think people have an appetite for a fresh approach and fresh views. I know the town very well, having lived here since 1988, and I understand, you know, some of the concerns that are held, but I also understand what a great place it is to live.
Have you been out on the knocker already? Have you been talking to people?
I've spoken to a number of people already. I did want them to have the opportunity to hear me so that I can get feedback from them after these interviews and they've read a little more about me. But, I've had meetings with some of the voters already because I'm very keen to get their views. It's not just about, you know, not about my views alone. It's what people think and what people want, because at the end of the day, that's who we're serving.
Lower taxes, that's what we want. No. I'm going to do that. I couldn't possibly have anybody in from Ramsay without asking them about the Queen's Pier. Where do you stand on the pier?
Yeah, I said to Sir John on Friday that my heart would dearly love to see it read on, but my commercial head said it's got to be commercially viable. That shouldn't be a showstopper to us. We should explore how that ties in with an overall plan. And if we could get some sponsorship, that would be fantastic.
And what could you use the Queen's Pier for? Because I think it would be a lovely thing to have, but I can't imagine what we would use it for, how it would pay its way.
Well, it depends whether we can tie it in with, if we did pursue the marina, how it can tie in with the marina. You know, I've got experience of other yachty places such as Salcombe and Foy. And, you know, is there opportunities to use that pier in conjunction with the yachting community? Let's just think of the boundaries of what is possible.
So you're very much a positive person. You want to explore the possibilities and not be limited, ideally.
I don't think we should put any limitations on ourselves in our exploration, but we have to be mindful as well of our need to manage our costs very well, keep them under control, and as I said, you know, earlier on in the interview, is to really take opportunities to work smartly and efficiently.
We're out of time, Linda, but tell the people of Ramsey why they should vote for you on September the 29th.
Vote for a change, please. More of the same will only bring more of the same. And if you're not satisfied with what we've got now, then please vote for me.
All right, Linda Bowers-Cash, it's been lovely talking to you. Thanks very much for coming in today.
Thank you.